All right, if you would this morning, turn me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading there in verse 12. I think this is probably one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And the reason being is because of the information that's conveyed there that is so wonderful in relation to our salvation. And particularly verse 19 that talks about God not imputing our trespasses. So let's start reading 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. And I want to look at one verse in this passage in particular that generally we don't look at very often. We kind of skip over, and I want to look at that today, and that's verse 20, and talk to you about ambassadors for Christ. In verse 14, the Bible says, "For the love of 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing the trespasses unto them, and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now, in the passage here, we see a thought pattern established there in relation to us being in Christ, how we got into Christ, that is, God not imputing our trespasses. And the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is unveiling a lot of information in a short passage there in relation to our ministry. He says, the love of Christ constraineth us. He tells us there that we're motivated by Christ's love for us, not necessarily our love for him, but his love for us. He tells us that he died for all. He tells us there that we should not walk out, we know no man after the flesh. He tells us in verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. He tells us in verse 19 that God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto himself. He tells us in verse 21, he hath made him to be sin for us, you know, sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then he, all of a sudden, right in verse 20 there, he inserts this little statement about our responsibility in relation to all that's being said here. And he says in verse 20, "Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God." In other words, in light of all of these things that Paul has said about our relationship to Christ, our motivation for service, he said that we are his ambassadors. Now, that's what I want to look at this morning, is that statement about being an ambassador for Christ. What does that really mean? We know today that an ambassador is simply a person that acts as a representative of another. We hear the word used most frequently in relation to our ambassadors that go to other countries. And when they go to other countries, they establish themselves there in what are called embassies. And they live there in that country. And they are a representative of the administration of our government. And they convey to those people, wherever they're serving, the wishes and the desires of our government. They are a representative that are not there to do their own thing. They work in conjunction with and as representative for the United States of America, or at least that's what they're sent there for. That same principle holds very true when we think about and when we look at this verse here, that we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, what does that mean? Well, when you think about it, God has always had men upon the earth that proclaimed His message. It started all the way back there with Noah being a preacher of righteousness and Abraham and different ones. As a matter of fact, look back to Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, there's a verse there that speaks about the prophets. And it says that in Peter preaching this murder indictment, he says in Acts 3:14, "But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murder to be granted unto you and kill the Prince of Life whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And His name, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as also your rulers." Notice, "but those things which God before has showed," how? "By the mouth of all His prophets, that Christ should suffer, He is so fulfilled." So in the Old Testament, God Almighty used men that were called prophets. Those prophets spoke forth the truth of the Word of God. Before Jesus Christ came on the scene in His earthly ministry, there was the forerunner of John the Baptist. He came before the Lord. Then the Lord Jesus Christ, He begins His earthly ministry, and for around 3 years, He proclaims the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He chooses out in Matthew chapter 10, 12 men, and He names them there, and He tells them to go not into the way of the Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Judas betrays the Lord, and so there's a man by the name of Matthias that replaces him, and the Lord commissions those men to continue preaching that gospel of the kingdom, repentance and remission of sins, with the idea that Christ would soon return. And so Peter preaches in Acts 3:19. Look there. "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Now, here's the thought I want you to think about. The Old Testament, they're Old Testament prophets. They're speaking the Word of God. The New Testament, John the Baptist comes forth. Jesus Christ comes. He chooses out 12 men, and He's very specific in His instruction to those 12 men about what they're to preach, who they're to preach to, and so forth, and what the result is going to be. "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." But turn over to Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, we're introduced early on in Acts chapter 7 to a man by the name of Saul. Actually, it's Acts chapter 8, verse 1. When Stephen is stoned to death, there's a man by the name of Saul who is consenting unto his death. In Acts chapter 9, we read that this man Saul, while he was yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, verse 2, Acts 9:2, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound in Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he trembled and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Look, if you will, over in Acts 26. In Acts 26, Paul has given an account of his salvation, and he says there in verse 16, "But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Now, here's the picture, folks, and it's just a perfect progression. The Old Testament prophets speaking forth the word of God, the Lord John the Baptist, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the 12, all speaking and preaching what was given unto them. By the way, including the Lord, he said that the things he preached, the things he taught, were things he received from the Father. When Paul is saved in Acts chapter 9, Paul is given a specific commission. And that commission is to go forth and to testify the gospel of the grace of God. While we're here in Acts, look in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, you see, an ambassador that is sent forth to another country is always given a specific set of instructions. He's commissioned, if you will. He's commissioned to go there for a specific purpose, a specific reason, to represent the administration of the United States of America. The Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, he says, "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself," notice now, "so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received." In other words, Paul had a specific course that was set before him. Paul had a specific ministry that was set before him. The 12 had a specific course. They had a specific ministry. They were to testify that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and that you have now crucified the Messiah. He's proven to be so by his resurrection from the dead. That was their ministry. That was their course. Paul received a course, and that was that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, notice, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The first time in your Bible that you ever hear the gospel referred to as the gospel of the grace of God. Why is that important? Well, because Jesus, John the Baptist, and the 12 all preached the gospel of the kingdom. And Christ told them shortly before his death that this gospel of the kingdom would be preached in all the world, and then would the end come. Paul, when he was saved, was given a specific ministry with a specific message for a specific people. It was the Gentiles and those that were outside the covenants of promise, and yet he was also to go to the Jew. And he did so by going to the Jew first. Look, if you will, in Romans chapter 1. In Romans 1. In Romans 1. Verse 11. Paul says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." Now notice, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Now, That verse goes far beyond what most of the time we just think about it and quote it in relation to the gospel being the power of God and the salvation. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He refers to the gospel he preached as the gospel of Christ more than any other title. He calls it also the gospel of the grace of God. But it is important that it is referred to as the gospel of Christ because that distinguishes it from the gospel of the kingdom. This gospel of Christ is the message that Paul received from Christ in relation to our salvation. And so Paul was God's representative. Hold on here in Romans and look in Galatians. Well, you don't need to hold on. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And get also 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The idea is that an ambassador receives his instructions and his commission before going. Here Paul was a religious zealot, a Jew, a keeper of the law, a Pharisee, persecuting that church at Jerusalem. And God miraculously appears unto him in Acts chapter 9. And yet we find that there's very little activity in Paul's ministry for 3 years. And as a matter of fact, it's 13 years before his first recorded message in Acts 13. So there was a time of preparation. There was a time before Paul was sent forth preaching this gospel. And Paul is commissioned to preach this gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 17. Now, obviously, the 12 in Matthew 28, they were told to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them that believe. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:17, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now, the Apostle Paul probably lived to about AD 65 or 70. He told Timothy, he said, Timothy, I fought a good fight, I finished my course. So the question is, if Paul was the last, really the last, as far as the grace was concerned, they say John wrote Revelation after Paul died, but who knows? But anyway, the Apostle Paul is off the scene. Yet there's to be a continuation of that ministry, obviously. And so that is why 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is so important. Because we find out there who that responsibility fell to after the demise of the Apostle Paul and the other apostles there in the first century. And what we find out is just as the 12 were Christ's representatives upon the earth, and Paul, who said, last of all he was seen of me as one born out of due time, was Christ's representative to proclaim the gospel of the grace of God to the Gentiles, what we find out is that that responsibility has now become ours. And thus Paul says, we are ambassadors for Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ. Now you see, we didn't receive some distinct revelation on the road to Damascus. But we do have a revelation. We've got the revelation that God has preserved, that is His holy word. Now, as an ambassador for Christ, if we are going to be Christ representatives, we have to understand what our job is. What is our commission? Is it to preach Matthew 28, repent and be baptized, or Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for remission of sins? Is it to preach, keep the law? Is it, in other words, what is it? Well, you see, that's why it is so amazing that this verse 20 in 2 Corinthians 5 is inserted where it is, because it makes absolutely clear what our ministry is. Our ministry is the same ministry that was given to the Apostle Paul. And that is, it's a ministry of proclaiming the truth to people that God is not angry with you today. We talked about anger in the Sunday school hour, and we looked at the Old Testament passage there about how God in the Old Testament, time and again, was angry. His anger was kindled. The Bible said He's angry with a sinner every day. But what we saw is that anger today is being withheld. And it's been replaced by grace, the unmerited favor of God. We're living in the dispensation of the grace of God. But God has chosen to operate on the basis of you and I being His representatives upon this earth. And so, what does our ambassador do? He receives his mission before going forth. Where do we find out what our mission and our ministry is? Well, the Apostle Paul, back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 1, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1, he said, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we've received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shine unto them." Now notice verse 5. "For we preach not ourselves." You see, an ambassador doesn't go somewhere and proclaim what he desires. He doesn't go over there with his political thinkings. He goes with them, but he doesn't present his idea. He has to represent the one that sent him. He's to represent the ideas of the country that he's representing. Paul said, "We preach not ourselves." You see, folks, we can't just look at the Bible and say, "Well, everybody's got their own idea, and this one's right, and that one's right, and somehow we'll all meet." No, we have a specific commission. We have specific instructions. We have Romans through Philemon, and we have a specific apostle that says he's the apostle of the Gentiles. It would be wrong for me to go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and take verses out of there and preach those to you as doctrine today just to get you to do what I want you to do. It would be wrong for me to tell you that you're under the law so I could get you to give your money or attend church or anything like that. Why? Because I am Christ's ambassador. We're ambassadors for Christ. Therefore, we're to declare His message. We're to possess His attitude. What was God's attitude toward mankind when He saved the Apostle Paul and sent him forth? Well, He said, "It is God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." Well, then you know what our desire should be? Is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? Because we're ambassadors for Christ. We're His representatives. We're His replacement, if you will. And he says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." What an awesome responsibility we have. We should never look at the ministry we possess as being something as menial or unimportant. It is important. But you know what? God fixes things so that no matter how important we see the ministry, we understand we're just an earthen vessel. The glory is not of us. You see, he says there in verse 7, "For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." The Apostle Paul was just an earthen vessel. We don't worship the man Paul. We don't worship the physical side of the Apostle Paul. As a matter of fact, apparently he was in such a state that he was not something that people would desire to see, desire to look upon. As a matter of fact, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he said, "I came not with wisdom of words, but I came in humility." And he said that his ministry was not one of self-glorification. It was all about glorifying the Lord. As a matter of fact, when you can continue reading there in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 4, you see the real human side of this earthen vessel. You see, on the one hand, we have this treasure. For God commended the light to shine out of darkness, and He shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful ministry we have. But Paul says, because we're in this earthen vessel, verse 8, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And then he goes on down talking about those things, and he says in verse 16, "For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are seen." While we look not at things which are seen, but things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, that is, they're temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Then he goes right into chapter 5 and talking about having this home in heaven. And then he gets down to, we're ambassadors for Christ. So what do we understand in all of this? We see, number one, that we should possess Christ's attitude, God's attitude about reaching others. If it's God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, we ought to be doing everything we can to get all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We ought to use every avenue possible. We ought to use every way that we can possibly reach people to do so. Whether it be tracts, television, radio, internet, no matter what it is, we have this ministry. We're ambassadors for Christ. We understand that we have received a specific commission. The religious world talks a lot about the Great Commission. And it was a great commission. But 2 Corinthians 5:20 is our commission. We're ambassadors for Christ. Well, what is it, that message we're proclaiming? Verse 18, 2 Corinthians 5:18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us," what? "The ministry of reconciliation." Paul said back in chapter 4, "Therefore, seeing we have received this ministry." What is this ministry? The ministry of reconciliation. We can reconcile people to God, but what we do is we show them that they've already been reconciled by the death of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to present not our own message. He says we preach not ourselves. We're to present the message of the one that sent us. Look back in John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Jesus Christ talking to the disciples in verse 19, our disciple present there, he says, "Now I tell you before it come, that when it has come to pass, you may believe that I am He." And in verse 20, John 13:20 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me." So the Lord Jesus Christ sent 12 men to the nation Israel. In receiving the message of those 12, they were receiving Christ. But that ministry came to an end when Israel rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God sent another man, the Apostle Paul. And people today, by and large, reject that ministry as a whole, in whole. In other words, they'll take parts of it, but they do not acknowledge the apostleship and the distinctions of Paul's gospel and so forth. You see, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." It was the message of Christ that Paul was proclaiming. It's the message of Christ that we proclaim. So an ambassador, he has the attitude of those that sent him. He goes with the message of those that sent him. He goes with the commission of the one that sent him. But he also conducts himself. Now I'm talking about the ideal. An ambassador conducts himself in a manner that's pleasing to the one that sends him. There's a standard of conduct. There's a code of conduct for those that go to another country to represent the United States of America. Look in Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2. Verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." For too long, the teaching of grace was one-sided, and in some areas still may be. That is, it was all about the doctrine, all about following Paul, without acknowledging all that Paul had to say about the conduct of the individual who is representing the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, regardless of how you want to put it, whether it's an ambassador, representative, or whatever, listen, folks, the influence of God Almighty on the earth today is through the Word and through His people that preach the Word. He is not exercising a supernatural influence today through miracles, signs, and wonders like He did with the nation Israel. God desires that we take this message, this treasure that's an earthen vessel, and dispense it to those about us, that the light of the glorious gospel might shine forth, that people might hear and believe and be saved. And you know, to me, that's the most miraculous thing in the world, that God could take a sinful, no good, filthy, worthless individual, save that individual, and then equip him to go out into the world and proclaim a message that would bring that same salvation to somebody else. That's amazing. And yet that's how God chose to work. Why? That the excellency of the power might be of Him, not of us. Wasn't my plan. It was God's plan. God set forth that plan. And that plan is that we proclaim that glorious grace of Christ. We proclaim the truth of salvation by grace through faith, so that people might hear the truth that Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And once they get saved, once they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, it is then their responsibility to operate as an ambassador for Christ. It is a self-perpetuating thing. One is saved and they get others. It just continues. But while we're doing that which God calls to do, He said that the grace of God that brings us salvation is teaching us something. And it's teaching us that we ought to deny ungodliness, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. If you're going to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, There needs to be a change in your life. There needs to be, like we're talking about Sunday school this morning, there needs to be some things demonstrated in your life that are reflective of the new man and not the old. And I know that many people, when you talk about these kind of things, they think, well, you're just trying to put us under some kind of bondage. No, that's what the Bible says. We're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We're to represent Him and His Word and His will. And we're to do it in a manner that would be pleasing to the One that sent us. Go back in 2 Corinthians 5 now, and let's conclude here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 19, to wit, that is, to understand that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing the trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us, that is, us that are saved, this word of reconciliation. That really sums the ministry up, folks. When you're witnessing to people, you need to tell them. Your sin is not the issue. Your sins were paid for at Calvary. It's what you believe that's important. Have you trusted Jesus Christ? Have you accepted the free gift of salvation? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because He says, now then. Think about that. Now then. You see, what took place back there at Calvary 2,000 years ago cannot be affected by what people do today. He died for their sins. He reconciled. Now then, now that we understand, now that we know that we're saved, now then, we're His ambassadors. We're His representatives. And we need to go out there with a desire for all men to be saved and all men to come to the knowledge of the truth and represent the One that sent us and represent Him in a way that would be pleasing unto Him. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men and is teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly and righteously in this present world, representing the One who saved us. I believe that's the vocation Paul was talking about in Ephesians chapter 4 when he said to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. You might have any number of different vocations in this life in order to put food on your table. But as a Christian, you only have one vocation. You're an ambassador for Christ. That's your job. That's your responsibility. And your desire as an ambassador for Christ would be Christ's desire that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Therefore, do all you can to propagate that and make it known and be an ambassador that God will be well pleased with, and do it for Christ's sake. Would you stand me for prayer?